This recording, Australia 12, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Quay near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her, and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently striking the goose's lower back with a palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Marseille, France, in 1958, of Spanish parents. My father moved to France for political reasons, fleeing from Franco's political regime in Spain. He settled in Marseille, southern France, and my mother arrived a year later. She already had my 2 older sisters and brother. My 2 younger sisters were also born in Marseille. I've had 4 home languages. I spoke French and Spanish with my mother, mainly French. She's quite a cultivated person. French and Catalan with my father, mainly Catalan since he's very attached to his mother tongue. I speak mostly French with my older sisters and brother, and I switched to English with my 2 younger sisters a couple of years after migrating to Australia in 1968. I've spoken English with my sister Rebecca until she died a few years ago. As you can see, my home has always been a Tower of Babel. I think I've passed my love of languages to my family. I am married to a Catalan-speaking wife, and Catalan is our home language with our son and daughter. I've made it a point they learnt English and French from an early age, since they are natural bilinguals in Catalan and Spanish. So I speak English or French with them from time to time. I've always been really good at languages, literature and music. I'm not so good at mathematics. I used to struggle a lot to pass those. I remember being the first of the class, in the English class I mean, just a couple of years after settling in Sydney, when I was only 9 years old. That was quite amazing, because most of the pupils were of Anglo-Saxon background. I was very often out of my home, and spoke English all the time, or most of the time. I remember having a couple of friends of Italian origin, and understanding, well, more or less understanding, their mothers, who spoke a Sicilian dialect. I could also more or less understand a French Creole from Mauritius when I went to another friend's house. That was quite a funny situation because they couldn't understand how I could understand. Well, I was told that the French never understood French Creoles. I suppose I was born to be a linguist. I live in my parents' hometown since I was 14 and a half. I vividly remember my cousins laughing at my English accent, although after a few months I had teenage friends who didn't believe I was able to speak foreign languages, since my Valencian Catalan dialect became so native, really fast I mean. I've passed a BA degree in tourism studies and a MA degree in translation and interpreting. I'm an expert in Catalan dialects, and I took a subject on English dialects as well. I've had excellent professors, and I had an excellent professor from the United States, from Arizona. The prestigious form of English in Spain is still British received pronunciation, and most of the students still go to Great Britain, although some do go to the US. The US accent is taken for less genuine in Spain. I now work as a civil servant for the town hall, and I'm in charge of tourism promotion for the city, so I travel widely all over Europe. As an adult, I learned 2 years of German. I'm almost fluent in Italian, and I can manage in Portuguese and Occitan. Occitan Provençal is closely related to Catalan, and I'm a Catalan language writer and journalist as well. So I travel to England every year for at least a fortnight. I travel to the London area every year for at least a fortnight, and I've got a lot of British friends who've made the Mediterranean coast, the Spanish Mediterranean coast, I mean, their home. I'm told I've still got an Australian accent, although it has been influenced through my contact with England, and I suppose it's quite educated. Nobody takes me for Catalan, Spanish or French, although those were the languages I spoke most as a young child, and I can walk, I imagine, through Madrid, Barcelona, Paris or London without being considered a foreigner. Well, by my looks, I'm the average 5'8", light-skinned, green-eyes, European. Even my surname, of Catalan origin, Marti, doesn't sound foreign in any of those countries. I will now tell you and translate 2 tongue twisters in Catalan. Plou poc, però per lo poc que plou, plou prou, i tot el que plou, plou en el pou. It doesn't rain very much, but even if it doesn't rain very much, it rains enough, and all the rain goes to the well. And the other is, un tarongeret ben desidorejadet, a small orange tree which has been well pruned with scissors.